Well, today we are going to hear about the second of three parables that Jesus speaks in chapter 25. Last week we heard about five foolish bridesmaids, and next week we'll hear about sheep and goats. All three of these parables have a common theme. It's to stay alert, to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. Today's parable has an additional message. It's this. It is to make the most of this time, to be as productive as possible for the kingdom of heaven. It's been said that we can be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And the thought behind this quip is that our heads are in the clouds and we're not thinking about practical things. Well, I think this parable tells us the opposite. Because we are heavenly or kingdom minded, because we look to the future with hope that Jesus will return again, we are motivated now to do earthly good. Rather than playing it safe as we wait for Christ's return, we are to live boldly and take some risk to produce results. We want Jesus to find us focused on what's important to him. When Jesus told this parable, he wanted his hearers to understand that what we believe about the future has an impact on how we will live today. Two of the slaves in the story envisioned a good outcome. One did not. The one who did not buried the assets he'd been given. He saw the glass half empty. The other two saw the glass half full. Imagine that you've been given a task. You've been asked to give a presentation to 1,000 people next week. How do you feel about that? Terrified, probably, right? Certainly nervous. And what are you going to do today? Because in a week, you have to give that presentation. Well, you might procrastinate because you know you never could do well enough. Or you might write and rewrite that presentation, practice it in front of the mirror because you want to do your best and be effective. What you're waiting for in the future will have an impact on how you act today. Or what if you're expecting people you really enjoy to come to your house tomorrow? How do you feel? Excited? Joyful? And what are you doing today? Well, you're cleaning. You're cooking. You're making one last trip to the store because you want to give the best welcome you possibly can give. You want to have a wonderful time sharing love with those whom you love. What we believe about the future has an impact on how we live today. And often what holds us back from living boldly for Christ in our daily life is fear. Each of us has our comfort zones. Comfort zones are those parts of our lives that we have control over. Comfort zones are those areas in life that we've experienced before, and we know that we are capable and skilled in handling them. I don't know about you, but I really like my comfort zones. I like being there. However, I've also discovered this. There is no spiritual growth without stepping out of those comfort zones. When we take a risk and use our gifts, like the two servants did, we discover that Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus will be with us. And he's a good and a gracious Savior. When you're asked to serve in a ministry of the church that you're not comfortable that you can fulfill, well, you're being asked to step out of your comfort zone. When you are asked to accept a change, like a change of habits, that can often be a step out of a comfort zone. It's uncomfortable, but it can be the very thing that God wants you to do so you learn to trust him more. In this parable, Jesus tells of a man, obviously a wealthy man, who is going on a journey. He does not tell us when the man will return from his journey. That's an important detail. Because it heightens the urgency that the three servants had to live under as they worked for him. And they knew they had to be alert. He calls the three servants to come to him, and then it says he entrusts them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Now, a talent was a measurement of gold. A talent was worth 20 years of wages. Thus, the one who had 5 talents had 100 years of wages, the other had 40 years, and the one had 20 years of wages. These were no small sums of money then. And if we calculate it in today's terms, we're talking about millions of dollars. You don't place into the hands of others these kinds of sums unless you believe they are capable of handling them. My dad was a coach. I remember him telling me that a coach doesn't put someone in the lineup unless that coach believes that that person has the capability to succeed. In this parable, the man who owned all this property believed that all 3 servants were capable to produce even greater results. And notice this, God gives people different gifts. The owner of the property gave each servant a different amount because he knew that each of these servants had different skills and different attitudes that they worked with. Even though a talent is a measurement of money in this parable, because this parable is about talent, it's also about abilities. In the English, of course, we call that talents. God gives different abilities or different talents, but what matters is how those talents or abilities are used. The master knew that these 3 servants didn't have the same abilities, but here's what he expected, an equal effort. I'm listening to an audiobook right now about Willie Mays. And arguably, Willie Mays may have been the greatest baseball player ever to play the game. In this book, it's described the God-given talent that he was given. But it also tells us he never slacked off. Willie Mays never took it easy. He gave his best in every play. Well, throughout the history of the game, there may have been other players with similar abilities, but they didn't make the effort required for greatness like he had. You know, it's easy to be envious of someone else's gifts. There's always going to be someone who is more gifted in some area than you are. And I think we're supposed to appreciate those gifts, and then we're to thank God for the gifts that each of us has. It takes all of us using the gifts that God has given us to the best of our ability to get done in this world the things that God wants done. This parable teaches us that whatever gifts we have, little or great, we are to use them to the best of our ability in service to God. Whether we have 5 talents, 2 talents, or just 1, we are to use those talents the best we can as we serve God. The story goes on. His master said to him, that is to the first and also the second servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Well, what is the reward for work well done? Well, the reward for work well done is God's affirmation, and it's also more responsibility. Wouldn't you love to hear these words from your master and your Lord? I was at a funeral recently of a dear friend of mine, and the pastor said of my friend, "When he entered heaven, God said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" This friend was a joyful servant of Christ. He was small in stature, but he was a powerful example of compassion, a can-do attitude, and a deep, deep commitment to Christ and his church. And I know you have those kind of examples in this congregation as well. You have lots of people with servant hearts who are using their gifts to build up the body of Christ and to reach out and make our world a better place. And so that affirmation is one of the rewards that we get when we use our talents to the best of their abilities. Another reward, according to this parable, is we get more work to do. Professor Erman Lunder was a retired Bible teacher from the Lutheran Bible Institute up in the state of Washington when I first met him. He was traveling across the West, and he was holding week-long revivals. And we had asked him to come to our church to hold a revival. I haven't told you, he was 85 years old when I met him, and he drove himself, by himself, across country. He came to the church that I was serving, and he held a week-long revival. Every night, he held a service, and he preached. And every morning, he had a Bible study for 5-6 days throughout the week. I asked Ehrman, I said, how is it you keep going strong? And here's what he told me. God doesn't retire you, he refires you. Isn't that great? He doesn't retire you, he refires you. And so after he left our church, he drove to another church. He held another week-long revival. And God gave Professor Lunder more to do up into his 90s. Well, he's with the Lord now. But he was a beautiful example of someone who served the Lord with all that he had, to the best of his abilities, and he did it with joy. The two servants in our parable who did well were not told to rest on their accomplishments. They were told that they had been faithful with the first assignment so they could be trusted with more responsibility. They weren't retired. They were refired. And I also want you to notice the progression. Faithful in little leads to greater responsibilities. Unfortunately, sometimes we get this turned around. Our ego gets in the way, and we want the greater responsibilities first and ignore the lesser ones. No, first be faithful in the smaller task, and then God will give you more to do. The first two servants heard the affirmation. Both of them were given more responsibility. But what about that third servant? He also, who had received one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. Now, where did this servant get this idea that his master was a hard man, reaping where he did not sow and gathering where he had not scattered seed? The other two servants said nothing about this. To the third servant, the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Well, maybe right there we have a clue about his character and why he didn't produce any results. He said, you wicked and lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed? And at the end of that is a question mark. This master is questioning him, where did you hear such a thing? Well, it might be the servant simply did not want to be responsible. So he blames the master, turns it in on him. It's hard work to be productive, and he was lazy. It could also be because he had a wrong understanding of who the master is. He believed the master to be harsh, whereas the other servants did not. They have an absolute faith and trust in the mercy of their master. They did not fear losing their master's money. They knew their master to be generous and to be merciful. And so here's an important point I think we need to notice. A person's image of God's nature will affect his or her response to God. If you believe that God is harsh, judgmental, and easily angered, it's difficult to serve God. A young woman once told me that she had a hard time believing in God because she said, when I think of God, I picture a cosmic policeman just watching, waiting for me to mess up so he can write me a ticket. And I said to her, you know, I would avoid God and have a hard time with him too if I believe that God is like that. But our God is not like that. He is gracious, merciful, and slow to anger. He loves us with an unconditional love. He loves us so much, says John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Having the proper understanding of God's nature is essential motivation for serving him with all that we possess. Finally, just like Jesus did in the parable of the foolish bridesmaid, he has a warning. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The servant with the one talent did not lose that talent. He simply didn't do anything with it. He buried it in the ground. No risk, no reward. Even if he had tried something with it and failed, that would have been better than doing nothing. But there's always this temptation to say, I don't have enough talent. I can't make a difference. Why should I even try? But the person who will not try misses out on the joy of the kingdom. And that's not how God wants us to live. God does not want us to live in fear. God wants us to experience the abundance of life that he has for us. If any of you were raised in the Presbyterian Church, you probably studied the Westminster Catechism. And there's a great question and answer in that catechism that gets to the heart, I think, of this parable about the master and three servants. And here's the question. What is the chief end of man? First of all, that's a great question to ponder on. And then listen to this answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I just love that answer. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let's make an application of that question and answer. You began this day and you say to yourself, now what am I supposed to do today? It's Sunday. I have this day before me, and my chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Well, how will this glorification take place today? Well, I'll go to church. I'll gather with God's people. I will hear and heed God's word. I will confess my sins. I will sing God's praise, and I will encourage those around me. That's how I'm going to glorify God and enjoy him forever today, Sunday. Okay, how about tomorrow? Now it's Monday. Well, of course, on Monday, I won't be here in this place. I'll be somewhere else. So what am I supposed to do? After all, I have appointments to keep. I have places to go. I have responsibilities I have to attend to. Well, on Monday, I'm going to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What this means is that I understand that God has given me gifts, given me talents, and I'm to use those for his service 7 days a week. There might be different ways on each day of the week, but I can use those gifts and talents to glorify God. And I dare not use them. They've been given to me by God for a purpose. I understand there's joy in life which is found when I use those gifts that God has given me in service to others. And when I do this, I glorify God, and I enjoy him, and I enjoy the plan and purpose he has for me. I experience joy in being used by God. I experience the exhilaration of stepping out of my little comfort zone and stepping into the wonder and the power of his grace. I understand that trying and failing in my service to God is better than not trying at all. Two of the servants in this parable glorify God, and they were rewarded with the joy of knowing their master, and they were given more responsibility. The one who did not, that one missed out. I encourage you to live life to the fullest with the gifts that God has given to you, in hopes that one day, by God's grace, you will hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen.